Osama has mobilized to war. Toranaga will be dead in weeks.
Welcome into another edition of Box Office Quarterbacks. My name is Jeff. Gerald. Man, Gerald's cracking me up already today, but we are talking about Shogun once again. The series finale aired last week as we are recording this. A 10-part epic, one of the best-made TV shows you'll ever see. Gerald, now that you've seen the full series, what do you have to say about Shogun?
I don't like the ending. I just don't. It was very good for about 8 episodes, and I think the last 2 episodes just fell a little short of what I wanted action-wise, which is fine. It's not to take away from it, and we'll get more into it as we go on. I still think it's easily the best show of the year and one of the best shows of its genre. It's very good, very well shot, very well acted. But we'll jump into some of the issues throughout this podcast.
You know, the end of this series sees Lord Toranaga's plan come into full focus. Lady Mariko essentially sacrifices herself to unite the nations and stop the war in Osaka. And the last few episodes are not really action based, like you said, Gerald, besides the maybe last 10 minutes of episode 9. Episode 10 is not what I expected for the finale. It is very emotional, very sad. You follow John Blackthorne as he kind of deals with the death of Mariko, and you know, we kind of go from there.
Yeah, and like, it's not just dealing with the death from, and I had to read some, I didn't realize this on first watching, and I realized it more second watch, but then I read an article online where it had the the writers or the producers of the show, I can't remember who exactly it was, and they were talking about the finale and how it starts with John Blackthorne as an old version of himself, right? And what you don't really realize is that he's not just mourning the death of Mariko. That whole episode is him mourning the death of the future he thought he had. It's him accepting the fact that he is a pawn in Toranaga's scheme. And it's him kind of killing that future off where he thought he'd be able to go back to his homeland and have kids in a future. And he's still holding that cross for Mariko. But we see at the end of the episode when he throws the cross into the water, and along with the fact that he's kind of just accepted the fact that he's staying in Japan, that he really was just him mourning a life that could have been, which I understand now more than ever. But at the same time, what were your thoughts on it? Did you get that watching it?
The flash forward was weird because we hadn't flash forward this entire series. And then we start the finale with him as an old man and his grandkids. So obviously he did leave Japan and he found a life back in England, but I thought that maybe that would have been best served at the end because it kind of cheapens when Toranaga tells, Yoshigi that, he didn't think that, Blackthorne would ever leave Japan. Like, he keeps him here because he makes him laugh and he distracts the enemy. So really he's like Toranaga's pawn. So like, it leaves out a lot of backstory.
Yeah. It makes you ask a lot of questions if you don't realize it on first watch, which I think is kind of what ruins that finale. It's not that it isn't, cause like, it's an artistic choice from the creator to show a flash forward of a future that doesn't ever happen. Right. It's an artistic choice, and it's a good artistic choice in a sense of like, I see where you were going with it. It just didn't land. Not this time. Because like with you, I was in the same boat at first. I was confused as shit. I was like, wait, so does he ever leave Japan? Does like what happens there? But like I said, after reading the interview from the writers, the people who wrote it, they straight up said like that was a future that he thought he was going to have. He was basically dreaming of that future. And the whole episode was him coming to terms with that future is not happening.
Yeah.
And so wasn't even a flash forward. It was an alternate universe flash forward.
There were some great moments here. Like Toranaga and Kashigi is the character's name. But like his whole death sequence on the cliff where they talk out what Crimson Sky actually was. I thought that was a beautiful moment between those two characters. Like, I love the cinematography in that scene. I thought it was really beautiful, but like when I was watching this episode, I was like, man, we got 14 minutes left. How are we going to wrap this up? Like, I think that for as detailed and how, you know, the politics worked in this series, to wrap everything up in an hour, I think was a mistake. I think we needed like an hour and a half here for an epic like this.
But they follow the books, right? So they kind of just leave it on that cliffhanger. Like, from what I understand, that's how the book was as well. So I get it, but it's just, I don't know. Like, at the same time, you're making an adaptation. And I feel like you said, there were things that just didn't feel wrapped up. Things that just weren't done and left on the cutting room floor. A lot of questions left. And because it's a book and it's only one book, there's likely not a season two. I think that the creators of the show said that there was a chance, or like they're not closing that door. They're hoping there's a possibility with that. But I feel like everybody's going to say something like that, you know? I mean, fact of the matter is there's no more source material to adapt.
Yeah. When you start going off source material, it could get real hairy. Like, mm-hmm. You saw it with Lord of the Rings, you know, The Hobbit is a 200-page yeah. book, and they made three movies yeah. out of it. So like, yeah. if you're like, stretching for the sake of stretching, don't do it.
Yeah. And I get that. But then to be fair though, this is a, like, it is a historic piece, right? Like, at the end of the day, it's about history. It's a little, I mean, it's obviously dramatized, but it's still obviously history. So like, they theoretically could take us through the beginning of Shogun, like the Shogunate, and like show us what it's like with Torunaga now in the lead, what Blackthorn's up to. You know, they could theoretically very well go that route. I don't know if they will. I mean, this was a good show all in all. Like, I hate complaining. Like, we spent a good 8 minutes of this podcast already complaining about it, but like, it's a very good show. It's yes. very interesting. It's great. It's fun. It's accurate from what I can tell. And I think it paints a really good picture of what was going on during that time period. And I love that I love the way they did things. And like, you know, like it's great. And, you know, having them kind of based in Edo at the end, and like, that's where the Shogun's going to start. Edo's now Tokyo, if I'm not mistaken. So like that was also like, you know, stuff like that. Like, I really liked all the attention to detail. There was only one character in this that I did not like.
Let's get into it. Let's get into favorite characters, because I think maybe we have the same character we didn't like in this.
Oh, man. I feel so bad for Cosmo, man. Cosmo Jarvis is John Blackthorne. I never felt like I should fear this man. You know, he felt like a blithering fucking idiot who everybody mentioned was like this brutal killer who raped and pillaged all these other Spanish outposts and shit. But like, every time he was ever faced with anything life-threatening, other than like the two assassination attempts, which like he all of a sudden became Superman and saved the day. But every other time he just immediately started crying, bawling, freaking the fuck out. Like, I don't want to be here type shit. And I get, like, you see a character of a character getting more used to this culture, more used to this country, enjoying it, actually respecting it, liking the culture and liking where he's at. Because you start seeing that in the later episodes, especially when he goes to visit his old crew at the bar, and he kind of sees where they're at, and he's like, I don't like this anymore type of stuff. But I don't know, man. I wasn't a big fan of him. I wasn't. And I don't know. There was times, but like, he was my least favorite character. And I hate that, because he's really probably the main character.
Yeah, I don't know, like, he did complain a lot. Like, he's like, I want my ship, I want to leave Japan, can I go? Like, that was the whole thing. I love Mariko, like, Lady Mariko is my favorite character. Like, yes. She, like, was it the last episode when she's, you know, in Osaka, and then those archers are shooting at the ground, and then she just keeps on walking? That is a dynamic scene.
That is
so good. Scene. So good. But Cosmo Jarvis, I think he did some weird method acting here. Like, his voice was, I don't know, It bugged me. I told Gerald he acted like a golden retriever a lot of the times, like just the way he, like sad eyes. And but Torunaga is great.
Torunaga was great. Mariko, oh my god. Anna Sawai is bae. She was fantastic in Monarch and she's fantastic in this. I can't wait to see her in more stuff. The thing I would hate the most about a season 2 of the show is that they wouldn't be able to have Mariko have any new stuff. It would all just be retreading of her backstory, which we've already gotten a decent amount of.
She's gonna, I think, break out after this if she hadn't already because of Monarch. Yeah. But like, you know, you could see her in maybe the MCU, maybe the DCU. Who knows? I don't know.
Torunaga, of course, fantastic. Ishido, Takahito Hida's Ishido was good. Like all these were great. And hearing them speak Japanese throughout the entire time too was fantastic. Just, I don't know, when you get a time period like this, and I'm fine with what they did with making Spanish English, simply for to not have all foreign languages in an American show. And I get that, but I'm glad they didn't do that with the Japanese. I know there's a dub version, but I would advise anybody to just watch the regular version.
Yeah, like you get used to it. I did like take a little bit of a break of this show because it is a lot. Like there's a lot going on, there's a lot of politics, there's a lot of backstabbing. Like I watched a little bit of Game of Thrones. Like this is more grounded, obviously. There's no dragons and crap like that, but like it is a lot to take in, which I think, like, when it comes to rewatchability and it comes to the final score of this on the box office QB scale, I think it would probably affect my score a little bit. Gerald, what would you give it though?
See, I think the rewatchability is more for me. Because with shows like this, where, and like I'm learning Japanese, but still like very slowly learning it. Like when I watch anime in Japanese, like it's almost better because one, like you get the true, what they're saying. And two, like sometimes I miss stuff. And it gives me more ability to like rewatch it. And, you know, sometimes I might be if I'm watching something for an hour, I might look away for a second and miss a sentence. So I feel like it almost gives it a better rewatchability factor. Plus knowing the ending, kind of seeing like the movements behind the scenes in the first 7 to 8 episodes would be fun. Are we doing our rankings already though?
We are doing our rankings.
Good. Cause I was about to do it anyway. I'm going high all-star. Simply because the finale didn't land for me. That's not to say it won't land for everybody. The whole show is still great. It's fantastic. It's well written. The drama's great. The comedy's great. The action is fantastic. Mariko is she should have like her own show, honestly. the finale still has an artistic point to it. The way it is, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So if you can go in there understanding that artistic point, I think, or at least having an open mind to trying to understand that artistic point, I think you'll have a much better time with the finale than I did.
Yeah, like the finale is not bad. It is just not what you're expecting. If you're expecting like a huge battle or something like that, like you will be disappointed. Like it's more of an epilogue if you look at it like, 9 is really the finale and 10 is the wrap up of everything. And it is, if you look at it that way, like,
and the creators are telling us this. I mean, the episode 9 is called Crimson Skies. Episode 10 is not called Crimson Skies. And Torunaga literally says in episode 10, Crimson Skies was last week.
Yeah.
like Crimson Skies is done. We did that already. Yeah. And it was a success because now we don't have to fight.
And, you know, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to give it an all-star, maybe a high all-star. It's just so well made that you can't knock it any lower than this.
Yeah.
Like, this is like the attention to detail here is crazy. Like you could tell they really put research into this. And
and for being honest, somebody who read the book may call this a Hall of Fame, may call this perfect. Because, I mean, it ends, from what I understand, the way the book ends. So, I mean, there's not much you can say to the adaptation being wrong or anything, you know? So, like, I think, like, honestly, I'd call it a Hall of Fame if it wasn't for the fact that the finale just didn't hit for me.
Yeah. I'd recommend it. Like, you got 10 episodes that are really well made here. Anything else you want to add about Shogun before we get out of here?
No, just subscribe to our social media, please.
Yes. Even TikTok. Even though it might not be around, but yes, please.
Noti Bell. Noti Bell too.
Yes. All of that stuff. All right. Well, this has been another edition of Box Office Quarterbacks. That's Gerald. He's done. He's turning his lights off already. I'm Jeff. We will talk to you guys very, very soon.